Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Roy Petty. I'm representing the petitioner in this matter, which is a petition for review of a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals. Alex Poro Mejia fled Guatemala when he was 13 years old because his mother feared that he would be killed by the Mara 18 criminal organization in retribution for her having reported the gang's extortion threats to the Guatemalan police. I should note here that Alex's family also joined him shortly after he came, so they are all here. He had to flee his country because the police were unable to protect him from this powerful organization, which by all accounts simply overwhelms the police in manpower and firepower. Even the police recognize their own impotence, as evidenced by the policeman's advice to Alex's mom to buy a pistol and maybe get a dog.
But it sounds like you've described something that's shared by everyone in Guatemala.
Not really. The threats that they feared were what they feared was that they would be harmed in as revenge for having reported their made an attempt to report the criminal activity to the police.
Well, suppose a member of the gangster disciples in Chicago said that he was at risk from the Latin Kings, a different gang, and the police couldn't protect him.
Yes.
Do you think France would be obliged to give him asylum?
No, and that's an important question.
Why is this any different?
It's a factual matter of one must look at the situation of the nation in the context of the nation of Guatemala. In the United States, it would be reasonable, for example, for a member of the gangster disciples to move somewhere else. He could actually seek the protection of the police. The police can't guarantee...
His argument is that I'm a member of a rival gang. The Latin Kings are extremely violent. It's their policy to kill people who support other gangs or who talk to the police. And they will find me wherever I am, and the police can't protect me. Therefore, I'm a victim of persecution and entitled to asylum in France or Spain or Turkey or China or wherever.
Canada.
You name it.
Might win in Canada.
The response would be, it's not persecution. Victims of gang warfare, it's terrible. We wish we didn't have that. But that's not persecution as we understand it. That's, at least I thought, the holding of Elias Zacharias. And your brief doesn't tackle the Supreme Court's decision in Elias Zacharias.
Actually, I do think Elias Zacharias supports our position, but let me first say that just warfare between gangs is one thing, between the gangster disciples and the Latin Kings. There's no question that the United States and its authorities can and do make a very strong effort to control those gangs. In Guatemala, the issue is...
The number of gang-related murders in Chicago every year is in the hundreds.
In Guatemala, it's in...
Greater than in Guatemala.
I'm sorry?
What is the number of gang-related murders in Guatemala every year?
Several thousand per year. The numbers are huge. But the law protects people from... It protects people who have to flee their own countries because their own countries can't or won't protect them. That's because they fear persecution from the government itself or from some entity that the government is unable or unwilling to control.
But there's the other problem with the position you're taking is that actually quite a few courts have said that merely being in the status of one who is being persecuted isn't enough to put you in a social group of people who are being persecuted, because at that point there is no limit in the statute, and that's not the law Congress passed.
I agree. You should not define the social group by the fact that they have been persecuted because they're part of the social group.
And isn't that what essentially you've done here? His mother goes to the police. She says, I'm going to complain about the Mara 18. And the police make this visit to the house. They say, get a dog and a few guns. We're sorry, we can't do more, or whatever else they may have said, and then they go away. Of course, we don't know what would have happened thereafter, because it's only about 2 weeks later that she leaves, right?
Yes. Had she not gone to the police, we could not claim that the family was a member of a social group because they had been persecuted by Mara 18 or threatened by
them.
Right,
and so there's actually a problem with that, too, since they, in fact, had already been attacked by Mara 18 a couple of times.
They had.
He had this terrible experience when he was young.
They had. But
report or no report, it seems, Mara 18 is happy to attack you anyway.
That's true, but what creates the social class in this case is the mother's act of going to the police and making the report. And by Alex's testimony and the other evidence that we presented, that is the fact that puts them at risk. And going back to the Elias Zacharias issue.
You just agreed, I thought, that they, in fact, were already at risk from Mara 18.
They were. They had received an extortion threat. They could deal with that by paying the extortion. They chose not to do that, and instead to try and fight it and go to the police. But I want to address Judge Easterbrook's issue about Elias Zacharias. As I recall it, in Elias Zacharias, the Supreme Court had said you have to look at the motive of the alleged persecutor. In that case, they were attempting to recruit a young man to join the guerrillas. And the court held in that case that since the guerrillas' motivation was simply to increase their number of soldiers, that that wasn't persecution. They weren't seeking to harm that individual. I might disagree with that on a factual basis, but I think it does raise the issue that, in a sense, the group is defined by the persecutor. In other words, the persecutors, we need to look at their motivations, what they would do, what they reasonably would be expected to do to someone who held or was believed to have held an erroneous political opinion, or who was a member of a group that had committed some act that, in this case, Mara 18 would consider a betrayal or something deserving of punishment. And I think that's the group here. The issue of the particular social group, we've had a definition from Matter of Acosta that was decided by the board 25 years ago, and it has stood the test of time. It's been adopted, I believe, by every circuit now. I could be wrong about that, but I think it has been. And that was a pretty generous definition that just simply said, is there an immutable characteristic, something that a person cannot change or, as in the case of religion, should not be required to change, that puts you at risk, that is the motivation for someone to persecute you. I don't think, just using the language of Acosta itself, I think it's not all that different from the other categories of persecution on the basis of political opinion or race or religion or nationality, in the sense that it is it's the persecutor who makes a determination that someone needs to be punished because of a characteristic that they want to suppress or harm or defeat. And in this case, that is that same way. The board ruled that in Alex's case, that the social group cited was much too amorphous, that it was hard to figure out who was in the class or not. And I referred in the brief, and will refer back now, to this court's decision in Ramos versus Holder, where the court said that may be true under some circumstances, but external criteria can affect whether or not a group is sufficiently identified to be the subject of persecution. And in this case, again, in the context of Guatemala, not in the United States or some other country, that characteristic is the fact that the gang, the very powerful criminal organization in this case, will want to harm people who take actions which challenge its power and its authority. I think I'm almost out of time. Is there further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Mack.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm Greg Mack, counsel for the Attorney General of the United States. The court should deny the petition for review because the Immigration and Nationality Act's authority to withhold an alien's removal does not extend protection against general criminality and civil strife in a foreign country. And the record in this case does not compel the conclusion that petitioner's concerns about gangs are any different than those held by other law-abiding citizens in Guatemala, where his concerns arose after only one incident where his mother reported gang activity to the police, and he and his mother left the country shortly after that single incident, even though the police investigated the incident. As the board reasonably concluded, any harm the petitioner would be exposed to would likely be due to general conditions of criminal violence and civil unrest affecting his home country's populace as a whole. It is simply not enough to show that the fear of danger arises from criminality that affects the population in an undifferentiated manner.
Would this case be any different if there were some evidence that the police were somehow in cahoots with the Mara 18 gang, that as soon as a complaint comes in, they pass the name of the complainer right on over to the gang? I realize there's no such evidence, but I'm just trying to, or at least I don't think there is. But would it be different if that were shown?
I think that would be different, and the board and the immigration judge could respond to that evidence and possibly grant a request for withholding or removal. But as the court notes, that's not the case here. And I think also you would also have to have some evidence, I think, in the country report from the State Department stating that there is this sort of concern with respect to the police and being in cahoots with the gangs. And I think the country report in this case suggests that the police, perhaps ineffectually, but are going after the gangs in Guatemala. And again, in this case, there was only a single incident of an extortion request in 2000, and the petitioner's mother left the country shortly after that request. The police did, in fact, come out and investigate this criminal request for extortion.
As far as we know, this was a bona fide. I'm just thinking of countries that one reads about where there are very strong allegations that the police themselves are quite corrupt and part of the problem, not part of the solution.
And usually, Your Honor, that's a situation where the person claiming the fear of the police is part of some ethnic group that has a larger concern with the government.
Or law-abiding citizens in Mexico, where the police may be part of the drug cartels.
Well, but that's not the situation in this case. But that you do have those components going on, but you don't have that going on in this case, where the police, in fact, did come out and investigate the case, and petitioner possibly ambiguously stated that charges were, in fact, filed in this case, even though they decided to leave the country shortly after the mother reported this threat to the police. So this is a case where if the court grants the petition, you essentially blow a hole in the withholding and asylum provisions because it allows aliens from other countries to claim that they're crime victims. They reported an event to the police, and on one occasion they decided that wasn't sufficient for them and they need to leave the country.
And this really is an argument. You're really resting on the argument that he's failed to show social group. He's failed to fall within the definition that the board follows.
The board made an alternative decision here, Your Honor. The board looked at social visibility, but I think it rested its decision on particularity. I think it recognized this court's decision.
That's a factor for defining a social
group. Right. It's a factor for social group, but I think in that decision it focused on particularity, not social visibility, because it recognized the court's decision in Ramos. And I think also, as I stated, the board made an alternative decision saying that even if a social group was demonstrated here, the nexus is clearly lacking here because this is about private violence and there wasn't proof that the police were ineffectual in coming to this petitioner's and his family's aid. If there's no further questions, we ask the court to deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Petty?
Very briefly, the board's decision did specifically say in a footnote on page 4 of their decision that they made a point of distinguishing the case from Ramos v. Holder and saying that putting aside the consideration of social visibility, the proposed group is too amorphous and loosely defined, and on that basis is clearly distinguishable from the trait of former gang membership mentioned in Ramos. It's really almost identical in terms of the discussion in Ramos of that matter. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.